when you really meet God, others should know about it. If you have experienced God, it should and will change the world around you. That's just a picture to focus on. I want to just, before I come to that, it's good. We've had a half term off doing a few things at home. It's been really, really good. And it's good to get back and sort of back into things. I've been building a bed for Ashley and painting a room and doing a few things. But it's good to be back in work. I'll visit the doctors a few times. I'll share a little bit about that. In a while, it's not serious, but it is a sort of a change in my lifestyle pattern, but I'll share that a bit later on. But Acts 9:1-9, I want to just read it. But Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing, so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that we can allow it to change us and inspire us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What's so intriguing about that is that Paul, or Saul as he was, had a plan for that day. Now, two things were going through his head, I would imagine, that morning. Number one, this is what I want to do. I am going to Damascus because, it was almost like the Inquisition in sort of, really kicked off in 1481 in Spain, where they did the first public executions. You know, they were coming against his way and they were sorting it out and they're thinking, right, this Christian stuff isn't right. It's the Old Testament law that should be followed. These Christians are turning the world upside down, and so they're going to root them out. And Paul was part of that. Saul was part of that. He didn't like it. Well, how can these people, even though they have problems in their life, be content and worship like these two were on the stage tonight and shout out that God is in us and God can change? Well, how can they do that? And Saul wasn't having it. So he was going. So one thing in his mind was, we need to stop this. Number two, the other thing he had in his mind was the normal stuff we carry around. Maybe he might have had a medical problem. Maybe he might have had symptoms of a lot of the things that people are diagnosed with in this day and age but can be cured because of modern medicine. Maybe he had an issue with money, with family, or anything else. And he was going there and God suddenly changed it. God came in from the outside and changed it and did something different in his life, which was so amazing and so powerful that he shone out from the crowd. He was there. As he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. Listen, if a light from heaven, this is not just a light out of the sky, this is a light from heaven. So heaven, which is where God is, something came from there into his situation, because it wasn't there before. You see, Saul beforehand didn't have the joy and the vigor to carry on were it not for God. And I would imagine, because we know what happened, he was blind for a while and went through, he then walked onto this path whereby God was leading him from one place to another to do this and to do that. But he had in there a contentment. And he would have lost things. He would have lost things at this point. Because immediately he lost a huge social network, not as in computers, but social network of people who were Jews who hated Christians. And suddenly he's lost all that. He's now doing something that God can do. And he allowed God to do it. He allowed God to say, well, God, take this mess, take this pile of rubble that I am and do something. And the real presence of God came in and did something and changed him. When you're in the presence of God, when you're there with him, when you allow him to speak, to meet you, that is the place where God finds nothing impossible in your life. And if you yourself may find yourselves in a wilderness, a biting, icy, cold, fierce, nasty wilderness, just listen a bit louder. You know, listen a bit more attentively, because you'll hear God in there in the middle of that. And in this situation Saul was in, God came in and changed something, but he can do it in your wilderness as well. He can do it where you are. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" See, he didn't believe that Jesus was God, was the Messiah, but yet he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Because the very presence of Jesus there changed him and changed who he was and changed his situation, came in and altered him. And so allowing, you see, I could sometimes get all my biblical knowledge, all my past sermons, everything I've been to, and say, well, because of this, it's going to change me. It does. And yes, of course, the Word of God changes us. But new experiences with God are more precious than anything else. And you will have new experiences with God this week, born out of the griefs that you carry around. You will have new experiences with God, and they'll do something good in you. God's brought me closer to him in the last few weeks. I'll mention a little bit. It's not serious, and compared to perhaps some things that some of you have dealt with or are dealing with, it maybe not be comparable, but I've been diagnosed with a condition called atrial fibrillation, which basically means that at the moment, while they find out more about it, find out what is causing it, I've got to go on blood thinners and things to slow my heart down. And Jackie's saying, you know, so my hands are cold and all sorts, and it's different, a little bit different. And it means they said to me, at the moment, we don't recommend drinking. I said, I haven't drank for years, I don't intend to, that's not a problem. And running as well, they said, don't do weightlifting. But for the moment, while they sort it all out. Now, it's not going to kill me, but it might have done, had I not got it verified and God come in and stuff. But I'm not worried. But what it has done is it's brought me closer to God. Because there's all kinds of medical investigations. You've got to sort this out and sort that out. And think, hey, Lord, I thank you for each day. But what it does, it makes you think, do you know what, Lord? Let your will be done. Because I know that God's got a will for my life and everything else, and it's not an issue. Because Satan brings fear in, doesn't he? You know, the first 5 seconds of the diagnosis, you get rid of him, and then Jesus comes in and everything. So it's brought me closer to God. And I'm at the point now where I'm really hearing what God is. I'm saying, God, what are you saying? Because maybe out of that, God is doing a new thing. And the first thing I said was, God, let this be for your glory. Out of this catastrophe, which is nothing compared to what some of you are going through, but Lord, let it be for your glory. Let it go for your glory. You know, and I don't want to go into the details of the illness, how it restricts me, because I've got to see a specialist and somebody else, and they'll sort it all out. You know, it's fine. It's in God's hands. But I thought, whatever happens, let it be for your glory. Let this that you are doing be for your glory. God has come in and brought something in that has changed my life. It's good when God does that. Because when you know that he's... You see, when Paul's life changed here, when Saul's life changed, he then was given this amazing mission. And his mission, you see, because Saul responded to what God wanted him to do, you can open any Good News Bible, NIV Bible or whatever, and see maps at the back of his journeys. Because what he did was so famous in the end because he responded to God. You see, in the middle of it, he could have just thought, oh, I've fallen off my horse. What was that supernatural? Oh, whatever it is. I'll carry on as normal. Yeah, I've got to kill those Christians in Damascus. But no, he said, out of this new thing, I've just been knocked off my horse. I was doing God's work, going to Damascus, and somebody knocked me off my horse. No, see it as God wants to show it. Is God saying something through this? When Jesus walks across the water in the middle of the storm, say, Lord, see, the only thing you should say in the middle of a storm is, Lord, is it you? Are you in this? Or if it's not you originally, what are you doing through this? And so out of this, God did something amazing. But it was allowed by him to shine outwards. And straight away, God brings, like I shared the other week about the manna and the quail, a bit of manna drops in. And the manna was this, but rise and enter the city and you'll be told what you to do. Oh, wow, this God, who is mighty and supernatural and powerful, is now speaking into my life. And he's saying, rise and go into the city and you'll be told what we need to do. My attitude really is at the moment, God, just speak through my life. Let your will be done. just let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Use this for your glory, however you want it to be used. Use it for the benefit of the church, my family, and the people around me. And rather than go up and say, oh, I've been told I can't do this, and I can't. Well, I used to love running, but I've been told not to do it for a while. You know, oh, God's really let me down. He knew that I loved doing that. No. Lord, take this, what has happened here, and use it for your glory. And my gosh, Saul here, and when God uses it for his glory, we allow him to, we then become people who shine Christ out of us, who shine the Lion of Judah, who shine the Holy Spirit. The things we relied on before aren't there anymore. You know, when the monkey puts his hand in the cage to grab the piece of fruit or the banana, in order to get free, he's got to let go of the banana. When he lets go of it, he can come out. And quite often we have to leave things behind when we allow God to do something amazing. But when God impacts our lives, it then has to become obvious to other people. I remember something absolutely incredible years and years ago. A new minister joined our church in Guernsey. This was probably about in the early 2000s. I can't remember when Bob Miles was the pastor, he moved on somewhere else. And a man called John Roddice became the pastor. They had a manse there, and we decided as leadership and people in the church that we would paint the manse a few days before he came. Brilliant. So we went along. For some reason, Jackie wasn't there. She was at home. And I went along, and I had to paint this particular part in the lounge. And I did something which I would recommend you never, ever do. I accidentally put my foot in, I think, a 20-litre tub of emulsion. Bang, like that. And we all stood around ages trying to work out what to do. Well, what do you do? We've got to get him home. How can we clean him off? So they decided in the end that they'd take my foot out of the emulsion, put a black bin liner around it and tie it at the knee. I would then drive home, go upstairs, and put two black bin liners, and stand in the bath and take it off. Now, emulsion in this day and age, right now, is a lot more, you know, even back then it was more toxic. So I did that. I walked in the house and I said, Jackie, I have just put my foot in a 20-litre tub of emulsion. And she says, I know I can see. People of Romsey, I've met Jesus. I know I can see. See, if I came here tonight and I said to you, by the way, on the way here tonight, I was run over by a lorry and my head was crushed. You'd say, no, there's no evidence. But if I said to you, you know what? A few bad things have happened, but I have met Jesus. Hopefully people will say, I know, I can see, because it shines out of you. The bad stuff doesn't, and it comes across in the right way, but I can see. What's happening is during this time here, when he meets Jesus, stuff happens that changes him. You see, God dropped some manna and quail in there. And the manna and quail was so precious that when he wrote to the Corinthians some years later, he says, 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2, I know a man who in Christ 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Oh my gosh, he's referring to himself. He's so precious he couldn't say it was him, and everyone knows it was him, but he's you know, he knows that he was caught up into the third heaven, and it changed his life, and something massive happens. But in the middle of it, if you decide, and Naomi was talking about this morning, and I believe that God is saying this to all of us, you, none of us are too high and lofty to accept this, that if you, in the middle of it, praise God and see what God's doing and allow God to come out and change your life. Allow God to change your life. Allow God to speak to you. A man's walking in the desert with his horse and his dog. When the dog says, I can't do this, I need water. The man said, I didn't know dogs could talk. And the horse said, me neither. If God is talking, are we listening? Is God saying something through your situation? Because it'd be easy for him to say, I was on the way to Damascus doing God's work and I fell off a blooming horse. Where's God in that? But he was able to see what God was doing in the Spirit. He was able to see God's bigger picture. And I would say that your encounter with God will do five things. It will offer those around us a different way of living. You see, because those people who come up on Christian TV and say, you know, this happened to me and I walked up this mountain and God did this and angels appeared, and they have got a story themselves. They've got stuff that happened as well. And they have got things that have happened in their life that they could turn around and say, you know, God, you allow this to happen? And you see, God never allows bad things to happen to Christians and to his people without wanting to use it for his glory. God stopped Saul in his tracks and said, everything you have put your heart on, forget it, it's rubbish. And Paul even one particular place said, it's rubbish. But God used that rubbish for something far, far greater. And as a result, we are standing here right now in Romsey 2,000 years later and being blessed by it. It will offer those people around us a different way of living. When God changes us and it affects those around us, it will also help us to treat people around us as though they have value. Because Jesus did that. And when you look at a Christian in a massive crowd, that person will be hopefully someone you can go to who can let you know that you have value. You can always tell a true follower of Jesus by their behavior. I'm sorry, you can, Galatians 5, Galatians 6, you know, by their fruits you will know them. You will know somebody by their fruits. You know, gifts of the Spirit are important, but in terms of recognizing somebody's character, it should come across. Not every day, I mean, we don't always feel like it, but the fruits should come across. Treating people as though they have value. I used to go to nightclubs when I was young because I thought you're supposed to go to nightclubs when you're young. I used to walk into nightclubs before I was a Christian. And I thought, this is the most hellish environment. People are only here for one reason, and I don't feel loved or accepted by anybody. So when I went in the end, and thankfully, the year I sort of went and started going, I became a Christian. And I just think, you know, but when God impacts us, it should treat people around us as though they have value. It should also inspire us to support other people. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When we really meet God, it should inspire us to be a support for other people, to be the answer in Romsey, to be the answer at work, the answer in our family, to be the answer. Where we are looking for answers ourselves, God might be saying, you be the answer. You step out in your pain and be the answer, and I will do something incredible for you. See, I believe that when we step into what God has got for us, we could not possibly imagine what he would do in the future. How could Paul, how could Saul know what was ahead? How could Saul know what God would do through the church? How he would change all the towns and cities for miles around and be one of the instigators of the Christian church 2,000 years ago. Number four, when God impacts us, it will make us into a fountain and not a drain. Every one of us in this world know, and Joe Bloggs could be anybody, that when you meet Joe Bloggs on the street, is it a good thing or a bad thing? See, if you bump into me in the middle of Romsey or Southampton or wherever, and walking towards you, do you hide in the shop or do you say hello? Because if I'm a drain, you hide in the shop. I want to be a fountain, not a drain. I want to be somebody who is able to just display and project Christ to those around me. In spite of the fact that I desperately need somebody to look after me and to help me, but somebody who displays Christ around me is more important. What I know is good, but what I believe and the things that I've learned are important, but making me into a fountain, not a drain. And finally, If I've encountered God and I meet other people, it should give them hope for their lives. Hope for their lives. We've got hope here. There's nothing we're facing. You know, it's like somebody this morning was talking about, oh, you know, coronavirus, what are we doing about this in this church? And are we protecting people from it? I thought, I couldn't care less about it. I'm not bothered. I'm not worried about it. I really, if there's a real problem in the south of England, somebody would have told us. You know, and there's no one saying anything at the moment. You know, people travel here, there, and everywhere. Let them have a lovely holiday. You know, come on, let's not get into fear. You know, but I think in hope, we should give people hope for their lives. You know, and you look around the country, and there's obviously the flooding, and there's something else, and this is happening, and that's happening, and politics in America aren't brilliant. But we have the hope and the only answer inside of us. And this hope should be so amazing and so powerful that when we display it, you see Ezekiel. I mean, Ezekiel, read Ezekiel. It's incredible, the sort of stuff that he had to go through and that God used him for in order to display God's power. Ezekiel 1:26, and above the expanse over their heads, there was a likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness of a human appearance. Upward from what the appearance of his waist I saw, there were gleaming metal like appearance of fire, enclosed all around, and downward from what he had the appearance of his waist, I saw there was fire and brightness around him. And at the end, such was the appearance, the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. So Ezekiel himself encountered God in an amazing way, a precious way, a way that nobody had done before him. And God used him in unique situations. And likewise with Paul. So do we, people of Elim Church, Romsey, do we go into the week and say, you'll never guess what? Something horrible's happened. What? I fell off my horse. Did you fall off the horse? Or did somebody do something powerful as a result of that? Take your little horse ride and see what God has done through it. Because Saul was able to do that and he became Paul. When you really meet God, others should know about it. My Christian faith should primarily be something which is the answer and which changes the world. Ashley's got this little friend called Lee who comes round, and he comes from a difficult situation, and he's terrified of me. I don't know why he is. He just comes and plays, and he's I don't know why. I was a little bit stern with him once. He did something. So he stands there. You know, he's got quite a sort of big square head and ears sticking out, and a dirty Saint shirt on. And he's like, you can actually come out, you know. And he came to the door today, and God just said, you know, there's a difficult family situation there. So display goodness. And once he came, can Ashley come out and play? And Ashley said, no, I'm going to church. What's church? I thought, wow, what a fresh opportunity. What's church? I remember years and years ago, about 8, 9 years ago, so I remember, Naomi Nesbitt and the family, they brought this little boy called Ashley. You remember him? Now, they brought him to the church, and he lives around Woodley Green. I think he must be a teenager now. But how old was he then? 6, 7, 5? I can't remember. But he came and sat on the front row, and Tim was leading the worship. And this little Ashley just started shouting out in the service, what are those drums for? What are you doing? Yeah, he hadn't got a clue what church was. But they as a family were able to be a light into his world for a while. So what is my message? It's simply this. You can continue to read through the book of Acts as long as you want, as often as you want, and you'll find great stuff in there, and God will speak to you. But even though you may have fallen off your horse and banged your head on the floor, and everyone looks at you and says, ha, 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 they've fallen off their horse, I knew they would, God's doing something else from it. Don't look at the horse. I mean, sometimes, you know, okay, that's happened. Let's move on from that, you know, now and say, okay, God, this has happened, and we'll need counseling, and we'll need prayer with friends and everything. That's normal, but let's move on from it. he was knocked off a horse for a reason, and God knew beforehand that he would be knocked off a horse because God wanted to do something in his life and convert him and fill him with the Holy Spirit and use him to lead the Gentiles and to do something new. And maybe God's doing something new in your life, and I really, really believe that he is. I believe that he is. And I believe that out of this world, God wants to inspire you, and God wants to speak to you, and God wants to do something new and something mighty in your lives tonight. You know, I could talk forever about what goes on, what happens afterwards, and how he established some churches, and then different things happened. And it's great and it's important, and God's word is important, but apply it to our lives. When you meet God, it is sometimes disguised in a different way. You know, the first night I had this dream about, the first night I was diagnosed, and this doctor took my pulse and said, listen, you need to get an ECG fairly quickly. I thought, and then literally said, you have got A, B, C, D, and E. I thought, oh, here we go, you know. And you worry, and I thought, oh, no. And I had some pretty bad dreams that night, but I got up the following morning and said, God, I had the best quiet time ever. I said, Lord, use this for your glory. Compared to what some people have got, it's bad. Compared to what others have got, it's not. I don't know where it fits in the scheme of things. I don't really care. You know, at the end of the day, if I've got one day to live or 60 years to live, it's your glory. And at the end of the day, Lord, use me. Don't use my horse riding accident, my road to Damascus where I fell off in the middle of what I thought was important. Don't use it as an item of bitterness, but Lord, let me shine in a world that is grey and that needs the Holy Spirit and needs God. Let me shine and make a difference.